Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th hour, apostolic Sabbatarian congregation of Mount Zion. At the 12th hour today is June 8, 2014, or it is Sibian 11, 2018. We will start our second service on this Pentecost Sabbath with a song entitled, What a Friend We Have in Yahshua. What a friend we have in Yahshua, all our sins he grieves to bear. All the privilege he carries, everything to Yah in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because he did not carry everything he got in prayer. Every trials and temptation is it cruel anywhere? We should never be disturbing if it is a Yah in prayer. And we find a friend so faithful, who with all our sorrows share. Yahshua knows our every weakness, takes it to the Yah in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Comfort with a load of care. Precious Savior, heal our refuge. Let it to the Yah in prayer. Do thy friend despise forsake thee, take it to the Yah in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, God will find your soul is safe. So send I you. This is a part one of The Kingdom of Yahweh is at Hand. Our title is So Send I You. As he sent the 12, he is now calling for the 144,000 as the antitype of the 12, and he will send them out. Right now we're coming forth as Yahshua's disciples of the house of David. We are coming forth today to on this day of Pentecost to have an anointing and for the receiving of a special gift of the Spirit for baptizing, going forth from here and preaching in the name of Yahshua and calling for repentance and baptism in the name of Yahshua for the remission of sin. And so that all that respond may receive the gift of the Yahweh Spirit, and that is eternal life through Yahshua our Savior. And so let's start reading Matthew chapter 10. We are definitely in the antitype where it says, go not into the way of the Samaritans or the Gentiles, but go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And no doubt this is where our message will be directed really to, is to toward the house of Israel, to gather the 144,000 as antitype of the 12, starting out with the 12 patriarchs, and then the 12 apostles, and now the 144,000, the 12 tribes. So it says in Matthew 10, verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Okay, verse 2 of Matthew chapter 10, it says, now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Yahshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go ye rather into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay. And, or go to the lost sheep, yeah. And as ye go, preach, saying, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. Now folks, this is what we're coming to. We're coming to this place where we will have these gifts bestowed upon us that we might be able then to do all these wonderful, mighty miracles in the name of Yahshua and his Father. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, loot it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of the judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up unto the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. Now here's your key right here. He that endureth unto the end. Now there in Daniel, it talks about Gabriel going to give Daniel understanding of the vision, and told Daniel to seal the book until the time of the end, for in the time of the end shall be the vision. And we know that the time of the end is in the 12th hour now, and the hour that we're in now, the prophetic hour. And so he that endures, and it's talking about those that are living in the time of the judgment of the living period, those that will be living, those so it's talking about those that came through the 11th parabolic hour, the pre-12th hour, and those that came through there and endured through the 11th hour, then they are the ones that has the great opportunity to be saved for eternal life. And so we are learning and seeing how Yahweh the Father prepares us to receive eternal life. He says through his son Yahshua the Messiah. And so he says, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Well, I know what it's like to be hated, because I believe that I genuinely was hated by all of those of the 11th hour that I was with for 32 years, all of the leadership, especially in that household. I believe I saved all of them. But he that endureth, if you can endure the persecution that they put upon you until the end, at the beginning of the 12th hour, and come through the first judgment, then the same shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Okay. Now we've got to go over all the cities of Israel. But you know, that Son of Man, Yahshua, is going to come and be at our right hand side. He's going to be with us. He's going to, matter of fact, we're going to go with him wheresoever he goeth. And so when the Bible talks about when the Son of Man comes, that and you'll go with him wheresoever he goeth. Okay. Well, that means wherever he goes in the earth, that's where you go. You go with him. And whenever he gets ready to go to other places in the universe, then you go with him there. For the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. So what is it talking about, this house of Beelzebub? Okay. So it says, so the house of Beelzebub, it turned out in our day, is those that came of the 11th hour. The house of Esau, of Gilead's sinner. That's exactly where the antithetical house of Beelzebub showed up in our day. Because they certainly ended up without Yahweh's spirit. They certainly ended up with the spirit of this dark world and with the spirit of Satan. They exercised it in every word, act, and deed that they did at the very end there. And so therefore, it would have to be then an antitypical house of Beelzebub, the house of Satan. What did Yahshua say to the Pharisees in the temple when he went to cleanse the temple? Don't you turn my, says, you have turned my father's house into a house of merchandise. And so he turned the money tables over and changed the money changers, and he drove them out of the temple with a cat of nine lives whip. And he said, don't you make my father's house a house of merchandise. Well, that's what the Seventh-day Adventist Church has done. All the way from 1844. They didn't at first, no. When they came to that first feeding pasture, but when those Jesuit leaders took over the General Conference there in 1888, 1890, and caused the Adventists not to accept the message of righteousness by faith, and then what did they do? They took over the house of Israel and made a house of merchandise. Okay. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church has been that way ever since. So what I tell you in the darkness, that speaks you in the light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach you up on the housetop. And fear not them which kill the body, but not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two spare a soul for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father knowing about it? Okay, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. For this saying Micah 7, same thing about, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. What are we learning here? We're learning that we're going to have a special anointing from the Heavenly Father to fulfill. And it talks about the disciples, when they were needing help, they anointed 7 additional disciples to go out for them. Now we go to Acts chapter 6, and it says, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not a reason that we should leave the word of Elohim and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of the faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of the Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of Elohim increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient unto the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power. And when we say faith, when we mention the word faith, it means that he is full of the faith and the blood of the Yahshua and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of them of the Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against Elohim. They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and taught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Yahshua of Nazareth shall destroy this place, and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Okay. We're going to chapter 7 of Acts. It said, then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The glory, the Elohim of the glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in the Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Charan, and from thence when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell, and he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as the city is put on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And Elohim spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring him of them into the bondage, and treat them evil 400 years, and the nation unto whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said to Elohim, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of the circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac, and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but Elohim was with him, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt, and Sharan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known unto his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob unto him, and all his kindred, 70 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt, and died he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem, laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought for some money of the sons of Emor, the father of Sichem. That's the way to pronounce it, S-I-C-H-E-M. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which Elohim had sworn unto Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. Till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children until the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceedingly fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in the words and in deeds. And when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that Elohim by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Okay, that same thing in 1888, at the antithetical deliverance of the first tie of Moses in the palace of the Pharaoh, the children of Israel had an opportunity to see how Yahweh was attempting to deliver them in 1888 with Jones and Wagner, the Adventists. But they fulfill the scripture right here in verse 25. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that Elohim by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. They didn't understand how Yahweh was to deliver them. And they mistook it as being an enemy had come into the camp, and that they were enemies. And so that's how the old devil works. He gets in there, he gets in the leadership role, and then he causes the good people to see it in the opposite light of what is intended. And so Yahweh wasn't able to deliver the Adventists in 1890, except a remnant that stayed with Ellen G. White. And they had to have a 40-year spiritual fast from 1890 to 1930 before that they could emerge and be delivered from their captivity. So the Adventists have been in captivity for a long time, and they've been delivered to, piecemeal at a time. One feeding pasture after the other, one succeeding the other. And so it says in Acts 7:26, and the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do you wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me, as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then said Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared unto him in the wilderness of the mount of Sinai an angel of the Yahweh in a flame of the fire in a bush. This angel of the Yahweh is his son Yahshua. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of Yahweh came unto him, saying, I am the Elohim of thy fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, and the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said Yahweh unto him, Put off thy shoes. Of the Yahshua said unto him, Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen, and I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them, and now come, I will send thee into Egypt. Now folks, this is where we're at today. Yahweh's people are in the spiritual land of Egypt today. They're outside of the parameters of the promised land of Israel. They're in the wilderness of the people. They're in spiritual Egypt. Okay, in verse 35. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did Elohim send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared unto him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. That is, that Moses was said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Yahweh your Elohim raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. Okay, that's what happened in the 11th parabolic hour in our day at Kermit. Yahweh raised a prophet like unto Moses in the midst of the people, and they did not recognize him. And why did Yahweh raise up this antitypical Elijah among the brethren? It was for their deliverance. He was giving the house of Esau an opportunity to be delivered out of spiritual bondage. They were in the spiritual land of Egypt, in the wilderness of the people, and they got comfortable. They settled on their knees there. They kicked back. And they said, wow, we just take it easy and cruise right on in to the promised land when Yahshua finally decides to come, because apparently he had delayed his coming. We thought he was coming many years earlier. It hadn't happened, and so Brother found some reason in his heart that for some reason the Master had delayed his coming, and he didn't know why. Okay. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel, which spake unto him in the mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, and to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then Elohim turned, and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the books of the prophets. O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? There you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. For our fathers had a tabernacle of witness and the wilderness, and as he had appointed Moses, or appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according unto the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Yahshua into the possession of the Gentiles, whom Elohim drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before Elohim and desired to find a tabernacle for Yahweh, for the Yahweh of Jacob, but Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith Yahweh, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do ye. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the people at Gilead Center in the 11th Parabolic Tower. Because he's asking the prophet there. He says, Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. And what house will you build me? He's asking the angel of the candlestick. He said, Not you're in charge of the temple service, and I've given you the blueprints of the temple to raise it up and to build it and to restore it. Now he says, What house will you build me? Saith Yahweh, or what is the place of my rest? Where is it at? Have you entered into my rest? Go read Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 to see if you have entered into my rest. Okay. Because it says, Seeing how that there remaineth some that must enter in. Alright, so in Acts chapter 7, verse 50, he said, Hath not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ear, you do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Yahweh Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of Elohim, and Yahshua standing on the right hand of Elohim. See there? That's where Yahshua is at today. He's at the right hand of the Father. And said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of Elohim. And they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon Elohim, and saying, Yahshua Messiah, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Master, lay not this sin unto their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Okay, so now we know that our own people, when they don't understand the truth and recognize the truth and recognize Yahweh's anointed messenger, that they will indeed do all they can to resist the message that they have for them, and if at all possible, they will run upon you, and they'll draw you out of the city into a place, and they will stone you to death if it is still. That's what they will do again in our day, if they're allowed to, but that's why we have Yahshua at our right hand side. Now he's come to this temple here on earth, and he's at our right hand side. And he's addressing, well, I'd like to say that we're getting along pretty well with this sermon here. Today is the day of Pentecost. It's apparently not the antitypical day of the Pentecost. For if it were, we would see the 144,000 come forth. But we are celebrating it with the baptism. We've already had a baptism today down in Lake Travis. We went down to the lake. We got a few snapshot pictures where Alan DeLong, he baptized me, and I baptized Alan, and Alan baptized Sharon. Okay. Sharon has been with us for several years now, and she and Alan work together as a team, and there'll be more news forthcoming from that in the future. But we three were baptized. My wife wasn't baptized because she wasn't able to get down the cliff and into the lake. But I had baptized her before about 10 years ago or so, and in the kingdom of heaven here on earth, and Alan. But we had a special event today because we're going to also have an anointing. We're going to have an anointing for the sitting aside of the house of David and for those that are of the leadership of it. To launch a revival and reformation that will spread out first to the house of Israel, together 144,000, and then for this great anointing then to spread on into the nations by the 144,000 for the gathering of their brethren. And so this is quite eventful event. And this will be the only one of a kind for this, but this is what it's dedicated for. Like I said, we've already had the baptism, and now we're going to have an anointing. I would like to add that this baptism took place down at Lake Travis, where Alan DeLong lives on the lake. And keep in mind that Alan DeLong's place is about 50 miles from our place in Liberty Hill. And so this is where we're having a special occasion on this Pentecost. Now I want to turn this part of the service over to Alan DeLong now, and he's going to bring us some scriptures pertaining to the anointing. Alan DeLong.
Read Matthew chapter 10. Verse 5, these 12 Yeshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of Samaritans enter ye not. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. So their commission was to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. And go now to Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Yeshua had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Messiah, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Yeshua answered and said unto him, go and show John again those things which ye do see, which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So Yeshua's ministry was to heal people. All right, we'll go to James chapter 5, start with verse 7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Yahweh. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Yahweh draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Yahweh for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, has seen the end of the Yahweh, and that the Yahweh is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any married? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Yahweh. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Yahweh shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. So, if we be converted to the truth, no matter how dark or black our record in the past is, that he'll hide these multitude of sins that we've committed if we are convert the sinner from the error of his way. And the key here is verses 14 to 16 says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him or her, anointing them in the anointing him with oil in the name of the Yahweh. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Yeshua shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So with that, we'll have anointing at this time for the healing of those in the congregation who desire to be healed.
Hello everyone, once again this is Elijah David. We're going to bring the close to our meeting on this Pentecost. We just finished with our anointing. There's four of us here, Brother Alan DeLong, and my wife Catherine, and Sharon, Alan's a friend and partner in this message. And we'll explain that more fully later on, but we're four who have been called and set aside for this special work to be done here. And so I would entreat Brother Jeff White and his elders in Africa that I should have known ahead of time but told you to conduct your services in Africa for your people there. A special service for the Pentecost. Hopefully you did have a special service. We pray for your success there. We pray the Father will impress you to have an anointing and a dedication of your church that you have raised up over there, and that it will be dedicated for the special work of taking this everlasting gospel first to your people, and then we'll go from there to the world. So we're going to close now this service with the reading of James chapter 5. The whole chapter says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is tankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped the treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your field, which is of you, kept back by the fraud cry, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the master of the Sabbath, which is Yahshua. Mark 2:27-28 is a reading on that. You have lived in the pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Okay. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Yahshua. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Who's the husbandman? Read Matthew 20, the steward of the vineyard. He's the husbandman, which would be the antithetical Elijah when he comes to effect a revival and reformation in the earth and to start the house of Yahweh first. And he says that that he waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and that is 144,000, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. This Pentecostal service today is a result of the latter rain. It has fallen with the former rain in the first month of the Passover of 2014, and we are now having a special service as a result of the form of the latter rain having fallen, showing us that this is the antitypical year for the launching out into the deep. And so we are very happy that we have come to this time. We know that we will be healed of all of our infirmities, that we will rise with healing in our wings as we cooperate with the powers that be. And so it says in verse 8 of James chapter 5, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Yahshua draweth nigh. As of this event we just had, the coming of the Yahshua draweth nigh unto the house of David. This is where it will come to first. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of Yahshua for an example of the suffering, affliction, and of the patient. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Yahshua, that the Yahshua is very pitiful, and of the tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by the heaven, nor by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be nay, and your nay, lest ye fall into the condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing song. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Yahshua. This is what the Holy Spirit told me to do today, especially me. He told me to call for this a special event to take place with the baptism that we've already had. Alan DeLong and Sharon requested and asked for the baptism, and the Holy Spirit impressed me that this is the thing to do on this Pentecost, that it can only be for the good. And then after we got finished with the pastor or the baptism, Holy Spirit impressed me that anointing would be in order for today, for we all need it. And so anyway, it says, and the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Yahshua shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. Okay, so we're going to pray one for another every day. And our people in Africa, we pray for you all, at least try to pray for you at least twice a day. We lift you all up. And we pray for your healing. We pray for your prosperity and your spirituality and your finances. And that Yahweh will bless you abundantly with the increase of the fruit of the field, of the fruit of your labors, by bringing you converts. As many new people as can possibly come, it would be very needful and helpful for you in your efforts there in Africa. We pray for your continued healing and to stay healthy at all times. So it says, for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly and it, that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth but a space of 3 years and 6 months. This was Elijah, the Tishbite. Well, I represent Elijah, Elijah David, the antitype of Elijah Elijah the Tishbite. Because Elijah went to heaven, he never tasted death. The antitype Elijah, the true one, of which we believe we are, and which I believe I represent that true office, and that we are in the time period now where no one has to taste of death once he comes through this ordination of the anointing. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which covereth the sinner, or converteth the sinner from the error of his ways, shall save his soul from the death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Isn't this wonderful, that we never give up on our brethren? And we always keep praying for them, that they will. But you have to stand firm, as the leader, you have to stand firm for the truth, no matter what, because that will win out in the end. And I have seen this time and again. For 44 years I was called to this post, and I have stood for the truth on every occasion from 1973 up to now. And the standing for the truth, stand on the word of Yahweh, has done its mighty work, and this is what sifts the house of Israel. This is what separates the sheep from the goats, is standing for the truth. And so now, as we have a few minutes left, I want to read John chapter 16 and talk about verse 13. Says, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will lead you in all truth. This is what we want more than anything at this time, is the Spirit of truth to come. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that you shall, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth Elohim's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Now why did they cast me out of the synagogue and come 2002? To start us on this journey here in the 12th parabolic hour and the 8th dominion and the 8th overall movement, is because they did not know the Father and they did not know Yahshua. All they knew was Beelzebub. That's all they knew. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Where does this Comforter come from? It comes from the Father. This is the Father's Spirit. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of the judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, though, when he, the Spirit of the truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. And for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, folks, this is what we want. This is what we have to have. That's what we have this event for today, to get our eyes more open, and to get our minds more open, and to get our bodies healed more, and to get more in the spiritual realm of things. In verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go unto the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, and because I go unto the Father? They said, therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Yahshua knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And you now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now, if there's anything that you need and want, you ask the Father in the name of Yahshua. You ask him, and he'll give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name? Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. You want your joy full? Ask in the Father in the name of Yahshua. These things have I spoken unto you in the Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And at that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from the Yahweh. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. The disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from the Father. Yahshua answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So, we wrap ourselves up in Yahshua. And what do? We overcome the world also. This is what we are called to do. This brings us to the service. Shall we contact us at the 11th hour call? We're going to close this service now with a song by the Elijah David. Let the heavenly light shine through. Well, you wouldn't not have known about a wonderful yard if you hadn't created you. And you wouldn't not have known about a fast fishing car. So draw near unto Yahweh in a good day, let the heavenly light shine through. And Yahweh's mercy when you come, and then we'll have a heavenly home for you. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. And Yahweh's mercy when you come, and then we'll have a heavenly home for you. There would not have been the creation of earth if Yah had never come down. Oh, the word of creation here in the world started spinning around. Then he spoke the word and the light appeared. He divided it from the night. And Yah saw that his work was good, created by his mind. the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. And Yahweh's mercy be come again. We'll have a heavenly home for you. Where you climb for the mountain and you look around, there's a green valley below. Let the moon up above, let the shining with love and the peaceful river that flows. Let the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the tall heaven can stand. And the fact that this is just a glimpse of what's awaiting over there. Let the heavenly light shine.